Hail, sovereign love, which first began that scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless free eternal grace, which gave my soul a hiding place. Hymn number 88. Hail, sovereign love. Exodus chapter 12, we'll start from the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations ye shall eat unleavened bread. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. I think many of us are well acquainted with this beautiful chapter in the Word of God. And we know that it's a picture to us of the Lord Jesus, because we read in 1 Corinthians 10, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so as we read this account that God has given about the Passover in Egypt, we know it's just to bring before us the one who is the true Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus. And the only way of escape, dear friends, from judgment that is most surely coming upon this world, and everyone who didn't have the blood sprinkled on the lintel and the side post, every home was, there was death in that home. And so we see here that God made gracious provision so that there could be an escape from the judgment. You know, that's a principle with the ways of God. He announces judgment and he provides a way of escape. Some receive the provision he has made, some reject it. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You notice in reading through the Bible, when God was going to bring judgment on Nineveh, he sent Jonah there, and when they repented, then they escaped the judgment. And over you get again in the Bible, you find that God gave warning, and he's given warning to this world. It tells us in Acts 17, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. I don't know the day of judgment, friends, but I know it's set. But I do know there's a way of escape. And I know that God himself has provided it at great cost to himself, but free to us. And so here we find the provision that God made for his people. Now, God had given many warnings previous to this, because there had been a great many plagues that had already fallen upon the land of Egypt. And I think any thoughtful person today would say, well, there's been some very, very remarkable things that have happened in this world in the last few years, and even businessmen and politicians and many people say things just can't go on the way they are. They know God stepped in and he allowed different plagues to come upon the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. And I beseech you, dear friend, if you're in this room tonight, don't harden your heart. It says in the Bible, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden your heart is just to say, I don't care, I'm going to go on the way I like, and I don't pay attention to those things that the Bible says. That's hardening your heart against God. There are many people doing it. People in Pella, people in Des Moines, people in Canada. Everywhere we find people who are totally indifferent to the fact that judgment is coming. But nevertheless, God is very patient. He's waited a long time over this world, and he's waiting still. The only reason the door of grace hasn't been shut is because the Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, how exceedingly gracious and patient he is. And many of us in this room will say, oh, I'm so glad he waited for me. He was patient with me until I yielded. And he's waiting, perhaps, for someone in this room. Because when the last one is gathered in, it tells us that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, can you think of anything quicker than twinkling your eye? That quickly, dear friends, will the master of the house rise up and shut to the door and call those who are ready home to the Father's house. So how important that you should remember that little word, now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Well, God changed their calendar all around. Perhaps they were using the calendar of the people in Egypt, but God changed it and said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And there's a new beginning when we realize our need of the Lord Jesus and accept him. I say there's a new beginning. Now, it is rather interesting here that God changed the calendar, but he said that it was in the 10th day of this month they would take a lamb. Perhaps you have wondered why it was on the 10th day, but you know, all through the Old Testament, they were looking forward. They were waiting for the time that the Lord Jesus would come. He was announced in the Old Testament, the 53rd of Isaiah, written hundreds of years before the Lord was born, told about his coming into the world and the work that he would do on Calvary's cross. The prophet told where he would be born, but at last the day came, just like the 10th day of the month. Perhaps the reason it's the 10th day is because there were 10 commandments, and man was tested as to whether he could live up to God's requirements, but no one did. The Bible says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And so we read in Galatians, and when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so when the 10th day came, then they picked out the lamb without blemish. It had to be without blemish because I couldn't die for you, and you couldn't die for me. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. And the Bible says none can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. I couldn't give a ransom for you, or you couldn't give a ransom for me. Your blood would be of no avail to put away my sins, nor would be mine to put away yours. It must be the provision that God has made, and that's beautifully answered in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God has a lamb, and that lamb is the Lord Jesus. When John the Baptist saw him, he recognized him at once, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Have you seen him? Have you received him? Have you recognized that he and he only can put away your sins, the Lamb must be without blemish. The Lord Jesus is not God. He couldn't be our Savior, because the whole human race are sinful, all of sin, and come short of the glory of God. But there was one person in this world who was God and man in one person. That was the Lord Jesus. He's God's Lamb. And it tells us they kept that lamb from the 10th day to the 14th day. And perhaps that would remind us of the life of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He walked through this world. Anyone who looked at him had to recognize that he was without fault. They said, "Never man spake like this man." Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." The Lord Jesus was without blemish. Whether it was the soldiers, or whether it was the common people, or whether it was Pilate, whoever it was, they all had to say, there's no blemish on that person. I find no fault in him. He doeth all things well, they said. So there was the Lamb without blemish. But they kept it from the 10th day to the 14th day, and the Lord Jesus walked before men, healing the sick and cleansing the lepers, but he was on his way to Calvary. And friends, it was what was done upon that cross of Calvary that meets your need and mine, and nothing else. The life of the Lord Jesus, beautiful and perfect as it was, is not sufficient to put away sin. It only shows how far short we've come. It says we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So on the 14th day, that lamb that was without blemish was slain. And the blood was caught in a basin, and God said that the blood was to be sprinkled on the lintel and the two side posts of the home. That was the only way of shelter from the coming judgment. Another little thing that's interesting here to see is that it says a lamb for a house. You know, God delights to work in families. I think of the jail keeper there in the 16th chapter of Acts. And when he cried out, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" The answer was, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And notice it over and over again. When one person in the household gets saved, then you so often find God begins to work in the family. And he saves a brother or a sister and others. He delights to do that, friends. And we think of Rahab the harlot. When God made provision for her to put the scarlet line in her window, she said, "Oh, can my father and my mother and my household find shelter here?" And they told him, "Whosoever." They said, "Whosoever is in that house will be safe." And all dear friends, that's wonderful. Whosoever still goes out. Whosoever will may come. And anyone who takes his place under the shelter of the blood is perfectly safe. Oh, how wonderful to know that God has made a provision, that he has provided that there is a way, a place of shelter from the coming judgment. And I say again that he delights to work in households and bless. I don't mean that each one individually doesn't have to receive the Lord. You must individually receive the Lord. We just see that principle. We find it with Noah. "Come now, all thy house, into the ark." And let me say to parents here, it's necessary to provide clothing and education and all kinds of necessary things for your children. But always remember, the most important thing that you can do for your children is to seek to bring them to know the Lord Jesus, to tell them about him, to present the gospel in all its simplicity, to pray with them and for them. That's the most important thing in the household. And so it was a lamb for a house. And how beautiful it is to see here that God made that provision. Then too they could share it with a neighbor. And many times some of us have had opportunities to speak to our neighbors. We've sought to bring the word before our children, and then we had opportunities to talk to our neighbors, and so they could go and share this lamb with their neighbor.
Maybe somebody here, perhaps you've been invited by a neighbor because they wanted you to share in the blessedness of knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior and being brought to trust in Him. Well, the lamb was to be slain, and it says in the seventh verse, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Then I'd like also to read the 21st verse. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike a lintel in the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. See how very simple it was. The blood was to be caught in a basin, and then they were to take the hyssop. Now for us, we might think, well, hyssop is something very rare and hard to get, but we find in another place in the Bible that hyssop was just a weed that grew there. It's called the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. It was just a weed, so it was something that was very easy to get. And God hasn't made the way of salvation difficult. If he had said it had to be some kind of thing that was hard to get, he might have said, well, we had the blood, but we couldn't find the hyssop. But it was something that was very easy. And God has made the way of salvation so simple. It says, a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err. We have a little song that says, a little child of seven, or even three or four, may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. You don't have to be a grown-up person. You don't have to have a college degree or something to understand God's way of salvation and to receive the Lord Jesus. A little boy, a little girl, an older one, can in simplicity just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'll put my trust in thy precious blood that cleanses from all sin. So it was made very, very simple that they might not have any difficulty in making their homes safe. Dear friend, I plead with you tonight that if you're not under the shelter of the blood, now is the time. Because we don't know when the master of the house will rise up and shut to the door. And I plead with you not to put it off. If there's a boy or girl here that's not saved, why not tonight? Why not right now receive the Lord Jesus and trust in him while it's still a day of his grace? Now, there's a few little things that I'd like to point out here in connection with this Passover. Perhaps I could just mention them briefly. And that is what it was that made their home safe, and then what gave them peace and assurance in their hearts, and then the feast that they could partake of in their